When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Bigger disappointment, Nets or Lakers, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. You can hit us up on the Twitter feed, at Key, J, and Max. Guys, we are joined now by Quinn Cook. What's going on, Q?
I'm great.
Yeah. What up, baby?
Great to be here. Great to
dress in all black. You dressed in all black like that? You come out here looking mean.
So you start the week.
Yeah.
You start the week off right.
I'm with you.
I still can't.
You see the athletic position he's sitting in, Max?
I do.
It's quite different than
it's
your
very
position.
Different. Yeah. But I tell you what, I have like Ben Simmons. I got the bad back.
You got the back issue.
All I know is Key, when the Lakers put together that team, and it's like, well, they're probably going to pick up some 3-and-D guys at the deadline, right? And then they never did. But then it's like, well, probably they at least get some shooting in there, right? 15 minutes a game. And Quinn Cook is one of the dudes I had in mind. How do they not go out and get someone like that for that team, at least at the deadline, Key?
Well, ask Rob Pelinka. Don't ask me. You're asking me something that I have no idea about. I've been trying to figure it out just like everybody else, man. I said it when he was on our show a couple months ago. He needed to be putting on the purple and gold.
All right, Q, I'm going to go there right off the bat. Let's just get into it. You're from the DMV area.
Yeah.
KD is from the DMV area. Have you ever seen a player of his ilk, his caliber, in that game? You were at the game, correct?
Yeah.
It kind of felt like he became human. He wasn't superhuman anymore. It felt like it became a little bit smaller. Am I wrong with that assessment?
Oh, I got to give credit to Boston. Boston, I mean, I sat right next to the bench, and obviously game one and two watching on TV is something – but being there and hearing those guys, like, they believe they're better than the Nets. And they took the challenge. Yeah, but, I don't want to say KD shrunk or became human, but 11 shots, obviously, in 45 minutes isn't.
But Q, his job is to convince them, I know you think you're better than us, but you're not. That's his job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, 11 shots isn't going to get it done, especially against this team. But
Bruce Brown took 19 shots,
yeah,
Q.
Yeah,
that's where I'm like, I hear KD on passing, get everybody involved. I understand that. But it feels like there's a certain point in the game where it's like, yo, it's time.
Yeah. Yeah, and we never got that. We never got that Saturday. So.
But why didn't you get it, though? Q, is it just because maybe he was trying to figure out everything and he got lost in the moment at that point?
I mean, they're mucking up the game. You know, they're sending two on all his drives. You know, they're switching to a matchup 2-3 at times. And just really taking the ball out of his hands and turning Bruce Brown and, you know, Claxton and Dragic into your playmaker. So it's they're the number one defense in the league for a reason. But also a guy, you know, at that table, you know, like Kevin, you know, it's time to, you know, I'd rather him go out shooting 30 shots. So I think that was the biggest difference that, you know, we weren't used to seeing.
I mean, MJ, Kobe, all the great scorers, right? They sent 2 and 3 guys and did all that stuff. And if those dudes ever had a guy like Kyrie on their team, then that dude should be going off for 40, right?
Yeah.
Like, what does it come down to coaching? Because MJ and Kobe had Phil Jackson, right? And these guys have Steve Nash, who was a rookie head coach, never coached at any level as a head coach, and does not seem to have this as a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Steve – obviously, he's a rookie coach, great, great, great player, 2-time MVP, Hall of Famer, obviously. But it's a different level when you don't have the ball in your hands out there. And we could see that, you know, it's times where Kevin isn't in position to like, when I was in Golden State with Kevin, we knew in the fourth quarter, Steve Kerr put him in his kill zones, and we knew it would be a bucket. We had a great chance of winning, obviously, with the team. But, you know, we knew Kevin, you know, would take us home. And here it's just like, you know, their ATOs. You know, Kevin is getting physical, Boston being physical with him, and he's just extended out on the three-point line, and they're just sending help and double teams and stuff. So it's very, very hard. So you will want to see some ATOs. You want to see him on the block a little bit, you know, free throw line extended a little bit more. But obviously, you know, Boston's doing a great job.
Here's one of the things that bothers me about it, though, Q, is like, you know, you talk about some of the schemes. It's, you know, watching – we had P.J. Kalisma on a couple of days ago, and seeing how many times KD catches the ball above the free throw line where he turns and he faces. And typically, when KD catches the ball, he's one of the most efficient players there is in the world, right? But, like, he doesn't dance with the ball. Like, you know, those moves he sometimes does when he starts cradling back and forth, that's a rarity. He's usually one dribble, two dribbles. But when you turn in your face and you see two or three guys, Max, that's where you go back to the sideline and you talk about – Steve Kerr in the kill zone, you hear about what Eric Spoelstra did with LeBron and D-Wade. Like, you have to give those guys a lot of credit now for how they manage the talent on the floor.
No, for sure, for sure.
Key.
Quinn Cook joining my guys, two-time NBA champion, that is, Mr. Cook joining my guys at Seaport on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. I wanted to ask you, Quinn, what do you think the narrative will be given the fact that they'll probably get swept here, meaning KD and Kyrie, what do you think the narrative is going to be going into next season for KD? What are the naysayers going to say, you think?
Obviously, that he can't do it by himself. He can't win. Obviously, you know, him not getting it done at OKC championship-wise and going to Golden State for 3 years and winning two. But then coming to Brooklyn and not winning in his second year, being healthy, I think that's going to be the narrative. Just can't he get it done? You know, they're not going to worry about Ben Simmons not being there. Obviously, you trade James Harden for Ben Simmons. They don't. The NBA, you know, talks won't be about Ben Simmons. I think it'll be just about if Kevin can get it done. And
you talk about Kevin.
Yeah. That make a lot of sense though. I feel like they gonna do him like that because people have been sitting around waiting to do him wrong and say negative things about him because you know how it is, Q. That's just the reality of sports that we live in today's world. Yeah. We've seen it from my side, your side, Jay Will's side. That's just part of it.
But, I mean, like, part of it is when you're in that rarefied air, you're being compared, like I said, MJ and Kobe, he's being compared to all the best who ever did it for good reason, right? Like, I think you brought up the finals and you were on that Golden State team with LeBron versus KD. Yeah. I get KD won MVP. You could have given it to LeBron, but his team didn't win. But they were outgunned, right? But LeBron was putting up 40 and 15 and stuff like that. He wasn't getting done like KD is getting done right now. When there's a dude on the other team in Jason Tatum who's guarding him one-on-one at times, who's giving him the business on the offensive end. Like, what? That's not KD.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, nobody saw this coming. Nobody saw this coming. And – like last year, he almost beat the defending champions, well, the champions at the time, Milwaukee by himself.
He was literally by himself.
A toe away from, you know, ending that series. So, you know, we all live in the present and live in the moment. But obviously, I mean, we all know what KD does. I don't think these three games defy who he is as a basketball player in his career. But obviously, he still has to, you know, play better.
Q, I do want you to react, speaking of a guy who is being present in this moment. Listen to what Kyrie Irving had to say about this team actually gelling and coming together.
We're all just trying to gel, and usually you're gelling around the right time, and that team in the other locker room is gelling at the right time. They've been gelling since Christmas. So for us, we're just in a new experience as a group, and we just got to respect that and just – you know, bring everything we can to this next game and just do one possession at a time. You know, I don't want to be too cliche, but I don't have a lot of answers for how you make up time, you know, from October until now.
So my whole point off this, Q, was that is that the right assessment? 1,000% factual, right? But that's the assessment I'm going to say to your ass when we're in a locker room and it's just me and you.
Right.
Like when we're just talking as a team. And sometimes I think, like, I've been on air multiple times because I think Kyrie is a gift to basketball.
I was
combining. That was a way of combining Kyrie and God. Kyrie, he's a gift from the gods to basketball.
Sound like something I don't want. That's for sure.
But see, that's what people do. People do stuff like that. Sounds like something I don't want. Or people say the lack of awareness because you say something like this externally instead of internally. That's the problem that comes along with Kyrie. How do you – How do you respond to something like that?
I mean, I think we all know what's been going on with the Nets this year. I mean, obviously Kyrie with the mandate, you know, James being, you know, in or out, you know, obviously Kevin being out sometime. Obviously, you know, it hasn't been perfect. And I don't think that's just something that, you know, should be said, you know, when you get down, you know, 0-3. I think we all understand what they've been going through, but at the same time, it's like a lot of luck comes with it. And, you know, Boston started out bad. They were 11th, 12th seed, and they turned it around. So
that luck or coaching?
Especially Keith.
It could be a mix of both.
Yeah, especially Keith, considering the fact that, like, look, I get it because of the vaccination, and I stand by Kyrie for his decision on that. But with that decision comes repercussions, right? It affects the relationship with James, then KD gets hurt, and then it obviously gets to a certain point. But it almost feels like if Kyrie had came up and said, look, I understand a lot of this was on me. Like, I'm accountable in this whole thing, and I need to address it, but we will move forward collectively together. You almost wanted him to take accountability instead of saying, we just haven't had time to gel, in a way. You know what I mean?
Hey, look, man. No, because I was about to say, Kyrie's situation is so crazy that it's just like, it is what it is. He's out on the floor, but somebody that's not out on the floor. I've been trying to tell these dudes between Max and Jay, they want to just, I don't know, go at Ben Simmons for his clothes, his jewelry, his $20 million, his $20 million grievance, all that sort of stuff. Is that fair? Is that fair?
Don't see how I try to frame the conversation? That's not what it is, Q.
What do you mean?
It's just the fact when he posts an IG emoji with the smoke coming out of their noses, that's what he usually does before he plays, when he does an interview and talks about how easy it is to insert him back.
No, that emoji was about, yo, I'm going to wear all these chains.
And when y'all coming at him about everything. Is that fair, Q?
Q, how would you look at Ben Simmons if you were in that locker room? Real talk. Be real, though.
I mean, we need you. I mean, we're a 7 seed.
My back hurt, though.
Nah, you've been out a year, dog. Like, come on. It's basketball. It's not.
It's not, Stephen A. said it's not MMA. You're not getting in the octagon.
Not getting in the octagon.
You're not fighting Tyson Fury.
Nah.
You're playing some ball, and I've seen you warming up. You're good enough to go for a couple of minutes, give it a try.
See, man, don't go to the dark side.
I mean, but he's playing with a guy like Kevin. Like, you know, he was out in 2019. He was out, you know, two and a half weeks.
Man, someone got to guard that dude Tatum because Kevin can't do it. You know, let's be honest.
But like I'm saying, a guy like Kevin, he risked his Achilles, you know, for the Warriors, right?
Well, okay, but isn't that an argument for Key? Like, he risked his Achilles for the Warriors,
Max,
he's never been the same, on defense at least.
Max, it's over. I don't know. Max, it's over. I dial in. Q got me. I surrender. He should be playing. I'm good.
But
it don't take long for me to convince me. I'm good, Max.
Okay, all right. You come
he should
over.
Be playing.
You come over.
I won now. I'm over the dark side now.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm good now. I just was trying to hope and pray that from an injury standpoint that it was really so severe that he couldn't play. But I hear you, and now I'm putting myself in a locker room with you, and I'm saying to myself, if Q feel that way, then I better start feeling that way.
Wait a minute. You mean when someone who never played anything, did anything in his life, tell you the same thing, it means nothing to you, but when a man with NBA experience who played with KD and did all these things,
two championships,
you mean now it means something else to you? That's outrageous.
Yeah, it does.
I'll have you know, I simmed NBA 2K. Did I win a championship? No, but I did, you know, and I've been in franchise mode on Madden, too, by the way.
So, Quinn, Joker got one. He got one game against Golden State.
Yeah.
His team got one. Will the Nets get one?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
They're going to get one.
They got to.
If they get swept. They got to.
They have to.
If they get swept.
They have to. Quinn. They'll make it 3-1 tonight. They'll make it 3-1 tonight. And
if they don't.
Long summer.
Man.
You know, everyone's so impatient, Q. I'd be worried that. Like, I really believe if they have patience with this team, they'll get one, and I don't mean a win. They can win a championship. You got to do it the right way, get some extra pieces, all that stuff. It just feels like no one's trying to wait around for it and build toward it. If it's microwaved or they're out, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you get the sense that this group will win a championship, or at least KD, Kyrie will win a championship together?
I think so. Well, next year. I mean, obviously, it's kind of even crazy to talk about it now because they're still in the playoffs. But, you know, I think next year.
Are they still in the playoffs, though, really?
Yeah. I mean, if they get tonight, it's 3-1.
Yes, it is. That's true.
The dynamic change, like Nick Nurse says, just get one.
That is Quinn Cook with us, giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Quinn will be with us the rest of the morning. In 30 minutes, We're going to ask him if another Dookie, Zion Williamson, just sounds funny when you say that word, yeah, should return for the Pelicans. We're going to get to what happened at Yankee Stadium, though, first. This was on Saturday. This was on Saturday.
The fans are just firing all kinds of objects at the Guardians outfielders.
Obviously, there's no place for, you know, throwing stuff, you know, onto the field.
This animal house that they call Yankee Stadium embarrassing itself in an ultimate way.
Well, that's never going to be okay.
All right. So Cleveland was up 4-3 with two outs in the ninth. And Kiner Falefa, who was, to me, that in that Donaldson trade, as key as anything, because he is a gold glove caliber shortstop, hit a double off of Cleveland's Emmanuel Clase, tying the game and sending the left fielder, Stephen Kwan, into the wall as he chased the ball. So while a trainer went out to check on Kwan, outfielder Miles Straw was seen climbing the fence and confronting jeering Yankees fans. On the next play, Gleyber Torres hit a single to win the game, and an unruly group of Yankees fans were seen throwing trash, including beer cans, onto the field. Ballpark officials in both dugouts took the field to ease tension. Straw first declined comment after the loss, but walked away saying, brutal, worst fan base on the planet. Later, he explained his side and said, Kwan is the nicest guy on the planet. Guys, I think there is a growing awareness in sports because athletes have been empowered through social media and their own platforms. They don't have to go through guys like me anymore, right? They can go direct to fans. That I think there, once upon a time, if you went toward the fans, you were always not only a bad guy, but they need to lock you up, this and that. And nowadays people say, okay, wait a minute. For the athlete to do that, what were the fans doing, right? And it's much more even-handed now. Nevertheless, he did confront the fans before they ever started throwing stuff, right? When they were just talking stuff. What do you think, Key? What do you think? You're a baseball
man,
guy.
You know, it's one of those deals where I'm never one to point and blame the fans. But when the fans get underneath you, your skin doing something, something had to be said to a point, because I done been ridiculed to the ump degree. And it doesn't matter, but when you step out of line and you say something or you throw something, now we take it to a different level. So I don't know what was said. Clearly something was said for him to climb up on the fence. Now, look, he didn't go in the stands. This wasn't Reggie Smith, Los Angeles Dodgers in 1978. This is one of those situations, but it could have ended up that way. I don't think that the fans should have been throwing anything just because he climbed up there. He didn't get into the stands. I don't think that the fans should have been throwing things at all. No, not at all. Because now when you start throwing things, you could injure somebody. You know, it's like, oh, it's nothing but a beer can. Well, what if that beer can is full? What if there's something in that beer can? You know, so that's the way that I look at it.
Here's my thing. I think the fans are 100% in the wrong. If you're gonna bark at a player, just like Kyrie, expect the player to bark back. Players bark back, you bark, fine. That's what the exchange is. When you start throwing something at me and it becomes physical, now you elevate the exchange. So the fans are dead wrong on this one. But I actually give the Yankees a lot of credit. I give Stanton, I give Judge a lot of credit because they ran to the aid of the Guardians. And that's what players should be like. Like, hey, look, we're all out here competing. We get that we want to have a competitive advantage. But when it crosses a certain line, we all know what time it is. And Yankees and Guardian players felt like it crossed the line.
You know what the problem is, though, guys? He didn't say those fans are the worst, because those are certain fans at a certain section. He messed up by saying worst fan base. Now, let me tell you what the problem is there. I'm a Yankees fan. Okay, I'm a Yankees fan. When you say worst fan base, and this is how all – and by the way, Yankees got more fans than any team in baseball around the world. They got the most fans. That's why they got the most money and all that stuff. They won the most championships, 27. You got Yankees fans all over the world now who feel like Miles Straw came at them. That's what it feels like when you say worst fan base on the planet. He should have said those fans. I'm not talking about all Yankees fans. Those fans are the worst. That's not what he said.
Well,
not
yeah,
what he said.
In the heat of the moment, he ain't going to say it. He's just going to say the fan base and birds of a feather flock together.
We're waiting for a retraction.
But he ain't going to sit there and be pointing, well, Max Kellerman's a good guy, but the other guy's a bad guy. That's just,
I want him to name us all.
You know, Max.
By name,
Max,
I want him to
Max
name
wants,
us all.
Max wants him to be a politician, Key. Wants him to all be politically correct. Accurate and correct.
No, it just, it, you know how it is. If Yankee fans are in the stadium, you all lump together. It doesn't matter if it's one bad guy, man. One bad apple will ruin the whole tree. Mm-hmm. It's just the reality of it.
Well, the important thing is this, that I think we should take away from all this. Yankees won the game and swept the series. Can we all agree that that's the important thing? They won the game and swept
the series. The important thing for me is I'm glad nobody got hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I am glad of, because when you throw in objects, man, it a beer can, right?
Yeah, you know.
So what if it was a full beer?
I think it wasn't full. That's why they were throwing it. Is one of the things.
Well, yeah, exactly right. So.
Yeah, it's an empty one. If it's full, then maybe they don't throw it. Hey, I'll say this about sports fans. And by the way, I've been there when I was a kid at different times. And
throwing people, stuff at people?
No.
I'm saying you get to the
point where you can't distinguish. It's why fanatic, right? You can't distinguish between how important the game is to your and your team is and real life. Right, like the fans, a lot of it, it's compensatory, and that's part of what fuels sports. You're frustrated at your job, things aren't interesting, or things are hard, or you know, whatever. But you can escape into your team, and it becomes like a religion. So when someone's going at your team, I think some fans who get carried away, especially Key, if those beer cans are empty, start to lose a grip on reality. Like this is a game. It's not real life. They think it's real life.
Mm-hmm. They got to slow it down, man. Take a step back. It's a game.
It becomes real life when that player's in your face, though.
Yeah, man.
Exactly. But,
real quick.
Yeah, it's not just a character on a screen anymore. You said things about his family or whatever you did, and now he's in your face.
Do you remember when Reggie Smith went into the stands?
Yeah, you said 78.
I think it was 78, right?
May have been. It was late 70s, I think, because I was a little kid.
Yeah, 78, 79. And I think they were playing the Yankees.
Oh, in the World Series. It would have been 77 or 78.
Uh-oh, yeah. I think it was 78.
78, yeah. Or 81, could it have been 81?
But our fan base, no, it wasn't 81. Mm-hmm. No, it was 78, I believe.
Yeah, I think
but our fan base in L.A., we're good. You don't do stuff like that, although that would be a lie because we actually do worse stuff than that.
Man, fans used to run out on the field all the time. Players had to get off the field. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, presented by Progressive Insurance. It's draft week, and Mel Kiper Jr. is going to tell you everything you need to know about the draft.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We're going to play Fill in the Blank with Mel Kiper Jr. right now. Evan, I want to play. You come in and host so I get to play.
All right, here we go. Fill in the Blank brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream. Barbasol comes with thick, rich, and doesn't break. That's why Barbasol is America's number one shaving cream. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol. All right, Mel. Here we go. I'm going to read a sentence. I'm going to leave something off. You're going to fill in the blank.
Okay.
The first quarterback off the board will be?
Malik Willis.
Why?
Okay, I filled in the blank. Now you want a why.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I thought it was just a fill in the blank. I'm just ready for fill in the blank, so it's too early for any whys or wherefores. But, he's to me, we talked about it. It's obviously Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis. Caroline's a possibility at six, but is it really? We don't know if they're going to trade out of there, what's going to happen at six. This class is not a good class overall. People I talked to in the league are not excited. The one word I've used is uninspiring. So trying to predict Willis or Pickett, to me, is tough. I'm going to go with the talent. Hopefully the league is learned that ultimately in the NFL, the best young quarterbacks have been the most gifted, except for Mac Jones last year. So was he an outlier last year as the fifth quarterback taken, turned out to be the best? If you don't draft outliers, so I would go back to the talent winning out. I'll go Malik Willis.
Mel, could Malik Willis be the only guy drafted in the first round? Could Pickett get out of the first round? Let's assume that the Pittsburgh Steelers, for whatever reason, moves up, grabs Willis, or whatever the case may be, but he slides and gets out of the first round. That is Pickett.
I don't see it happening, Key, but I could. I mean, like I said, there are people out there that I've talked to that think he's a second-round pick on rating, on grade, okay? So you would have to me, somebody's got to like these quarterbacks a lot more than I do. I mean, I'm at 17, 18, some are at 25 to 30. I'm talking about the rating, okay? So if you're taking them at 6 or you're taking them even at 20, you know, you still there's going to be guys at 20 that are more highly rated than 17, 18 on your board. So you're going to have to stretch it a bit to take a quarterback in the top part of the first round or even in the middle part of the first round.
All right, now we're going to play fill in the blank. But, Key, I want you to play too. You fill in the blank too, and I'll fill it in too, Evan.
All right, so Mel already gave his answer. So blank quarterbacks will be selected in the first round, Key.
One quarterback will be selected in the first round. That would be Malik Willis.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. No, you know what? I'm going to say two quarterbacks. Pickett will go. If he's sitting there, like, you know, he'll go. He'll go. Two quarterbacks.
I would agree.
With the first pick, the Jaguars select, Mel?
That would be Aiden Hutchinson, just because of what they did on the offensive line. I know people still think Icky could be in the mix. Some people think Trayvon Walker could be in the mix. I'm going to go not the safest, but the best player this year on the defensive line was Aiden Hutchinson, by far, in terms of production and consistency week in and week out. And you know what you're getting, and that's what they need. They have had no sack production in the last 2 years. I think it's Hutchinson.
Hutchinson... That would be the guy. It reminds him a lot of a Joey, a Nick Bosa, number 97, coming off the edge in the Big Ten Conference. They need to build a roster. I think they'd start with building it on defense.
Yeah, we're talking about who's going to do what. They're going to take Hutchinson. Like, he's the consensus number one pick. They got their quarterback, and now they're going to go get their guy to go get the quarterback.
All right, blank offensive tackles will go in the top 10, Mel. Blank offensive tackles will go in the top 10.
I'm going to say 4, which would be Icky, Neal, and then you got Cross and Penning. Trying to find that fifth. I like Tyler Smith from Tulsa. I like him. I think he's a guy in 2-3 years you could be looking at and say, why didn't he go in the first round? The things that he doesn't do right now well are very correctable by a quality offensive line coach, but I'll say ultimately 4 go.
I think 3 will go. I think Mel missed the mark by 1. I think it'll be 3. It'll be the Cross, Neal, and Penny. Neal will go before anybody, I believe. I think a lot of people like Cross, but Cross is a little bit short arm, not quick on his feet. It'll be interesting to see who grabs which one first, though.
I agree. I think, I'd say 3 only because it feels like you can get some guys in the second and third round who can help you on your offensive line. So the question is, do people believe Penning, for example, is a difference maker? I think they do believe that Cross and Neal, and especially Ikwunu, is a, you know, I think those three guys they think are difference makers.
Blank wide receivers will go in the first round, Mel.
First, I just want to know who Key likes to get 32 picks in the first round. If you only have one quarterback and 3 offensive tackles, Key, to get the 32, I want to see some of those guys you're putting in your first round. That's what I want to know. But I'm going to go 6 wide receivers in the first round. 5.5 is what I think Caesars has it out in Vegas. I think 4 are locks. Then you get into, do you think Dotson, Watson, and Burks? Those are the 3 that are iffy, okay? If you get the 1, say Burks, that gets you to the 6 mark, okay, the 5 mark. If you want to get the 6, you got to have Dotson or Watson or somebody else going. So I was at 5, but I'll push it to 6 and think that maybe Dotson goes because he catches everything and he's got ability after the catch and he's got versatility. But there's mixed opinions. Some think he's a second rounder. So 5 is pretty much not guaranteed, but I feel good about 5, but I'll stretch it to 6.
Six seems like a lot, though. I know there's a Jameson Williams. You got Olave.
London.
Drake London.
And right.
That's
and then,
3.
And then Garrett Wilson's going first.
Garrett Wilson is 4.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the 4 locks. Then you get
that's
into
the 4 locks.
And you got Burks from Arkansas if you want to go to 5.
Burks from Arkansas, Mel, I'm afraid of his ability to change direction and run.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
he just... What's his real 40 time? Not that the 40 time means anything, because game speed is everything, but he's so stiff, you know, and that's the thing that scares. I hate stiff receivers. I just don't like them.
Guys, I think it might be like 7 or 8 guys in the first round, because
– 7 or 8 wide receivers back?
I'll tell you why. Okay. Wideout, other than quarterback, if you really look at it, wideout might be the second most valued position, including offensive tackle, including unless it's a special defensive. Like, if it's a great corner or a great edge rusher, like, really great, okay. But otherwise, I think everyone's looking for that wideout. And so when you squint, you start to see things that you want to see. I'm going to say over 6.
Yeah, I had 7 in the mock, so I'm kind of with you on that, Max. I stretch it to 7 in mock 4.0. I'm saying 6 now to be conservative. I'm still over the Vegas total of 5.5. So we'll see. This is going to be a tricky number. That 5.5 is a great number because what Keith said, you can make that argument on.
All right, 2 more. Here we go. The Jets will take blank and blank with their first 2 picks.
I'm going to go Sauce and Drake with the first 2 picks.
Sauce and Drake. That's 4 and 10? Is 4 and 10?
Yes, sir.
Sauce at 4. So Sauce gets past Detroit at 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so they wouldn't grab Thibodeau and Drake.
Okay. I think Sauce would be the guy to be the shutdown guy in the AFC key, because you got Josh Allen in their division, and then you have the AFC loaded with quarterbacks. So I'm going to think they get the shutdown corner, and then they get the weapon for Zach, because you can't forget about your young quarterback. Joe Douglas isn't going to forget about Zach Wilson, and he doesn't have a Drake London on that football team right now. So I'll go, if they keep those picks, I'll go those two kids.
But I would rather have a guy go get the quarterback, because if I get a guy that could go get the quarterback in Thibodeau, then I could always find a corner to hold up. But if a corner can't hold up because nobody can get to the quarterback I have all day long to throw, he's going to pick the corner apart. I like Drake London at 10, though.
I will say this real quick. I had Thibodeau going there at 4 in the mock 4.0. I was told by people I respect that ain't happening. Mm.
I was hoping Thibodeau and Drake London, I think, is going to the Jets.
It ain't happening because he's going to be gone, or it's not happening because they don't like him.
It's just not happening. That's what I was told, and it was no reason given. He's not going to be a Jet. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think he will be there. If they pass, then he becomes – there are a lot of people who think he could slide down the 9.
Yeah, I want Sauce on the Giants, so I don't want the Jets anywhere near Sauce. All right, there it is. Great Mel Kiper Jr., ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Mel, as always.
Have a great day, guys.
All right, Mel.
Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place, bundle and save at progressive.com. The top seed in the West is now a best of 3. We might see a former number 1 pick before the series ends. What? That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number 1 selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Rob Domofsky, our great Packers reporter, took a picture of this. He put it on Twitter. I texted it to our group. Of a ref at his kid plays like travel AAU basketball. The ref is on his phone, and this guy replied with a video of it. The dude is literally on speakerphone. He's making a call while he's making calls in the game. What would you do, Key, if you showed up to your kid's AAU game and this ref is on his cell phone during the game?
I would have a real problem. Like, dude, what are you doing? I wouldn't say it like that. I would say some other stuff, but yeah, I would have a serious problem with it. What do you, like, you're supposed to be reffing the damn game. Unless it's an emergency, you call timeout and you put everybody aside, you step out and you use your phone. But sitting on a wall chopping it up, to your homeboys. Like, what are you doing?
He's running up and down the court on speakerphone. Like, yeah, if it's an emergency, that's one thing. But it's an emergency. Aren't you going to leave the game and be like, I'm sorry, I have a family emergency. I gotta
step out to the side and come back and say, I got to leave.
Well, Max, let me ask you something. Did he miss any calls?
Well, clearly not. He's on his phone.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, it is audio, right? Like, if you had AirPods in or something, you could still probably call the game.
I guess he figured, what the hell? They only paying me $40 a game.
That's the thing.
No real money to be lost in that situation for him.
Right, right.
That's why he probably was like, whatever.
You know, you could multitask there, I think. I think like, you could make all the calls and still, you know.
No, Max.
Yeah, I think so.
No, you got to call the game.
Yeah,
you can't have a
phone.
But
he did.
Yeah, but you got to call it right, though. You're missing calls.
He's literally not missing calls. He's answering
no,
his phone.
No, he's taking all his calls.
he's making sure he gets all the calls.
It reminds me of what was the Seinfeld? I know this is Key's favorite show. Evan,
no, Jay's favorite show, not
mine. Where Key's favorite show, Seinfeld, where Kramer was telling the story about how he's on the bus and he's still making all the stops, right, as he's fighting the guy or whatever it is. That's what the ref was doing. He was making all the stops. What's wrong with that?
I wonder what Demoski thinks about that. What did he say? Like, what was his thoughts?
He said, I've officially seen it all. Ref on the phone during the game. Did it for the last three possessions.
What was the score?
they don't have a ticker, Max. There's no bug on the AAU games.
Yeah, but like, let's say they're up a dozen points, three possessions left. You know, come on.
Max, you one of those parents. I already know at a game. Oh, God.
I'm lawyering up like you did on Ben Simmons, Ski.
I didn't lawyer up.
But you played devil's advocate. I'm using the incorrect expression, but you know what I mean. I'm playing devil's advocate. All right, look. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are back in 10 seconds from right now with Tim Legler.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Full house here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Not only do we have two-time NBA champion Quinn Cook, but we're hanging out with us, just been hanging out with us for like the last hour. We got Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, with us. What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Morning.
All good here.
Yes.
I don't have to play against the Celtics defense. I feel great.
No, by the way, Legs, don't be too hard on yourself. You're playing as many minutes as Ben Simmons will in the series.
There you go.
Hey,
absolutely.
Here all
I'm not dressing like a bowl of Fruit Loops. I can tell you that.
Hey, yo.
Hey, whoa.
Hey,
whoa.
Yo.
Whoa.
Don't talk about how people are dressing. Key does not like that.
Oh, Key. Key.
What's up, Leg?
It looked like I took a picture of the screen watching the game, and he was standing up by himself over there. It looked like someone had Photoshopped somebody onto the picture. Literally, that's what it looked like because of the entire bench. Right? All those guys are all dressed in all black, and then you had Ben Simmons.
That
colorful by the coaches.
And that's the NBA way, man. Very expensive and ugly. Ugly stuff that costs a lot of money.
That's right.
Showing up
at
the games wearing seven ropes around his neck. Green lambskin jackets, like drawing a lot of attention to himself for a dude who's not getting out on the floor.
And then being ruled out for game four.
Yeah. Right?
So what do you make of that?
Not surprised.
What?
Not surprised.
Just tying it all together, Keith.
No, I'm not surprised by that, honestly. I mean, I know that he got people, you know, expecting it, and they're sort of tantalized. What's that going to look like? But the whole time, for me, it's like what he is dealing with in his return to the court, his anticipation of that, and to be thrust into this environment, this situation, with this many eyeballs on him at this time of the year against that defense, I didn't expect it. Now, look, if somehow miraculously they come back, they start winning games, he can't put this off forever. So at some point, if he was this close in game four, well, what if they win game four? Doesn't that mean he has to play in game five?
Tim?
Basically, right?
Tim?
I think he's trying to delay it as long as he can. And I think the best thing for him is to get to the summer, man. Agreed. Hit the reset. Come back in the fall. Re-energize, right place mentally, physically, and then be ready to help your team.
Tim, I would play you the sound from earlier in the show, but Quinn Cook is sitting right here. Quinn, what if you were his teammate, though, what would you say when he's practicing? Is this that? But he's not getting out there, and your back is against the wall.
We need you, bro.
Yeah.
We need you bad. And obviously, this you trade an all-star James Harden for Ben Simmons, you know, theoretically. And obviously, you get Seth and Dre.
Seth was ailing. He's back.
Yeah, but you need Ben Simmons. You know that. I don't want to say it gets you over the hump, but you know, it'll help Kevin and Kyrie out tremendously.
But see, what I don't understand is that. So why do the emoji on your IG page? Right, that's typically what you always do before you're about to play. Yeah. Why do an interview about how easy it is for you to be inserted back into the lineup? And then the operative word was soreness. And when I hear soreness, soreness doesn't mean, Q, that you can't go.
Right.
Soreness to me means that you're choosing not to go because you're sore. I agree with you that I thought they should have shut this thing down from the beginning. Yeah. I put a lot of the onus on the Nets for even letting this link. I would have nipped it in the bud. He's not playing. I would have kept an element of surprise. I didn't know why I even got to this point, but it felt like there was buy-in from Ben too, though.
100%. And you're right about, you know, what the difference between hurting and being injured.
Yeah.
They're two different things, and it seems kind of vague exactly what he's dealing with. I'm with you, and I said it from the beginning. He needs to just get to an off season to buy some time to get himself right. Oh, by the way, that will give him a chance to acclimate himself with his teammates in a better way, because you can see right now, to me, he looks like he's lost credibility in the locker room and on the bench. When he's talking to guys, it doesn't even look like they're like buying into the fact that he's even speaking to them on the bench. Mm. And that is how you feel sometimes as an injured player. You feel so isolated and you feel detached from the team. Get to a summer, show up every day to work with these guys, show them that, okay, I'm right physically, this is what I can bring to the court. And by the way, when opening night hits next year, I'm going to be out there with you guys. But right now, to just constantly be talking about this and have him not ready, I just think you're doing him a disservice, and I think you're doing the Nets a disservice. Move on without him for the rest of this season.
He was in the same draft. He went 1 overall. Brandon Ingram went 2 overall. And for many years, no one would put Brandon Ingram in the same sentence with Ben Simmons. But right now, who'd you rather have? The guy who just helped knot up his series against the championship favorites when this all started in these playoffs, Brandon Ingram, or Ben Simmons, who won't get out there? Brandon Ingram, I always thought legs and I always thought, Q, that he was an empty calorie stat guy. But no, not. And Jay points to the fact that they went out and got the right teammate for him. What do you guys think? Q, I'll start with you.
I mean, obviously a little Duke bias, but
yes.
You know, I'm a B.I. fan. I love B.I. I've seen him grow over these past couple of seasons with him being the number one option. And acclimating Zion, you know, the last couple of years, and then getting C.J. this year, I think he still, you know, inserts himself as that number one. And C.J. is fine with that, I think. And you know, to be the first Pelican player to, you know, have 3 consecutive 30-point games and, you know, take this. You know, obviously the Suns have been the best team in the league this year, obviously with no D-Book, but B.I.'s been the best player in the series. And he's established his will in his first playoffs. It's big time.
And, Legs, that's what's so incredible about C.J. There's not a lot of ego that comes along with him as a leader. He understands in order for this team to be the best version of themselves, they need B.I. to be that dude. That's why I told Max, like, he's the perfect teammate to set up the next chapter for Brandon Ingram to become the player that everybody thought he could when he got drafted.
Yeah, you know, these guys come in and they're so young, and we want to make quick determinations on them. All right, so go back to his first 2 years in the league. Brandon Ingram, you could see the talent was there, right? The length and the handle. Problem was, he could get knocked off his spot easy. He was taking a lot of shots going to the rim that were off balance. So he's an inefficient player because he's not strong enough to play through the contact. Look, this guy's not all of a sudden Adonis. He doesn't have that body frame, but he is significantly stronger now. He can handle the ball against traffic. Guys can ride his hip going to the basket. It doesn't affect him anymore. So now you've got a guy that's 6'11" that can shoot the ball from anyone on the floor, handle it like that, and can now play through the contact you need to be an elite-level wing scorer. Guys that look like Brandon Ingram and score the way that he does, win championships. Those are the kind of guys that you need because they can literally get a quality shot against any defender, against any scheme because of the length, the shooting ability, and the handle. And that's what Brandon Ingram has turned himself into.
That's what when that's like too. When you talk about CJ Mac, not Max J. I think CJ was conditioned in Portland with Dame not to have to be the alpha dog, the leader. And so he sits perfectly in a role in New Orleans where he's comfortable with letting Ingram be Ingram.
That's such a great point. So many young teams make the mistake, I think front offices, no veterans, like who really get minutes and can still really play, right? Oh, a guy on the bench, or you brought in veteran leadership who's contributing, right? So that it changes the whole tenor of a young up-and-coming team. Will the Steelers find a replacement for Big Ben in the draft? Our mock draft continues. ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.